a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Joining us now from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com, one of our favorites, Kurt Nealon, kind enough to join us. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
I'm doing good, gentlemen. How have you been?
Very good.
Just wait a second. Oh, yeah, Damian Lillard just scored again. So, yeah, it's been that kind of a – that was that kind of game where you just have to sit back and say, wow, you're watching greatness on display there.
Yeah, it's funny because I saw some of Jazz Twitter last night, and they were like, hey, let's try this defensively, or why don't we put this guy? I'm like, dude, when Damian's going like that, you're along for the ride, man. There's nobody you're going to put on him. There's nothing you're going to do. He is one of those electric scorers. When he's going like that, he just win. It's the advantage of having a guy like that. He can win you a few games a year by just going off.
So, Kurt, tell us a little bit about Damian Lillard's situation with Portland and how stable it is or how unstable it is, or what is the future that it really holds for the two of them?
Let's put it this way. He will be there as long as he wants to be there. And he has chosen repeatedly with opportunities to go other places to stay there and try to win there. I can tell you that there are 29 other GMs kind of side-eyeing this, like waiting, like, if for him to decide, hey, if I really want to win a ring, this Portland team isn't there. This Portland team isn't close to there. There's not some silver bullet move that gets them, you know, like if we just make this one trade, we're there. So everybody's kind of waiting to see if he just decides to bail on Portland and go chase a ring wherever. We'll see if he ever does that. Honestly, I don't know if he ever will. He has a deep connection to that city and that community and that, and, you know, I was going to say the ownership group will be changing in the next couple of years, but I don't know that he's in a spot right now where he's ready to just give that. I mean, he might never be. He might be somebody willing to play his career out there. And if they don't get a ring, he doesn't get a ring. He will have done what he wanted to do.
Kurt Nealon joins us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All-Star break coming up here in just a few weeks. The Jazz, certainly the attention of the NBA will come here to Salt Lake City. Are you still confident that Markkanen's a MVP? Or not MVP, excuse me, an All-Star?
Yeah, I don't. He's been good. He's not quite been MVP.
Yeah, but, I know. I gotcha. Yeah.
But no, it's funny. We did this the other day, and I ran through it with a thing I did with Ira Winderman, who covers the Heat for the Sun Sentinel. And that was one of those, like, yeah, it's just kind of automatic. He's been good enough to be there as a reserve in the West. Where it gets hard with the West is that, look, you got to put seven reserves. Three of them have to be front court players, and you can fill those, especially if you decide to put Anthony Davis or Zion Williamson in. It fills up pretty quickly. But Markkanen has to be there. The challenge there is guards. The challenge in the West is that you end up leaving like De'Aaron Fox or somebody off the list because there's too many good guards. You can't Damian Lillard gets to make it, guys. He's good enough, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to be on the list for sure.
Yeah, and funny thing is, like, he's kind of, I don't want to say been out of the, he's a little out of the spotlight this season because Portland hasn't been that great. People kind of forget he's having a monster season.
So kind of paint the picture of what you're looking at with the starting five and reserves for the West.
For the West, all right. My starting five was, I agreed with the 4/5 of it, I agreed with the fan vote. I did go with Luka and Curry in the backcourt. If you want to say Curry hasn't played enough and you want to put Shea Gilgeous-Alexander or somebody there, fine, go ahead. But I think he's played enough. So Curry and Luka were starting. Front court was, I think there are two give-me's, which is LeBron James and Nikola Jokic. Then that last forward spot in the front court, this is where the game's played and how much does it matter to you comes in. I don't know that Zion's going to be back, but Zion's played 29 games. Is that enough? Has Anthony Davis played enough? Because both of them have been really good when they've played, but has it been enough games? I think they both make the All-Star team. When I submitted my ballot, I put Zion in as a starter. If you wanted to sub him out, the first logical choice is Domantas Sabonis, who's been kind of the fulcrum and the guy who's making everything go in up front in Sacramento on their kind of surprisingly strong season. So I get that. My guess is ultimately he will be the starter because we'll see. But Anthony Davis and Zion are there, and then you've got Markkanen, and then you get to the guards. It's Ja Morant, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Damian Lillard. It's I'm leaving somebody off the top of my head. I'm not looking at my list, but De'Aaron Fox. I'm leaving somebody off the top of my head. Yeah. But it's deep. Like, you're really deep with really good players up at in the front court. In the back court, I should
say. Looking at Steph Curry too. Is that?
Yeah, Curry's got to start. I mean, he's going to be second in West play vote getting. So yeah, here we go. My West guards are Luka and Curry start. Ja Morant, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Devin Booker, who's not playing and probably won't be back, so he might get subbed out, and you could have somebody like De'Aaron Fox in, but he's been so good when he's played, and Damian Lillard. Like, that's seven guards.
Yeah.
and I still haven't gotten to De'Aaron Fox or anybody else. Like, it's like I said, if my guess is Fox gets bumped up when I would love to see Booker back, but it doesn't sound like he'll be back that fast.
You like the little twist, and I appreciate the NBA trying to mix things up a little bit, but you like the twist of essentially the playground pick sides right before the game?
Are they going to do skins and shirts? They should. I'm for it. Honestly, and I think you guys, I don't know how you guys feel about it, and I think it's a little different when it's in your city and it's the events there. The actual game, All-Star game itself, it's like anticlimactic and not usually that interesting, and kind of he gets some dunks and it's a showcase and it puts, I guess maybe it's good TV, but Saturday night's more fun. The Saturday morning stuff and everything else that goes on around the All-Star game is fun. The actual game itself, they're just trying to inject life into it because sometimes it can be a little, I mean, everybody's defending like a traffic cone and it's just not that interesting. The Elam ending helped a little bit. The target score ending helps a little bit, but I guess this helps. Like, it'd be interesting. I do want them to, I don't know how they're going to do it. I so want them to line them up and you go walk over to that guy's side so that when we get to the very end of this and De'Aaron Fox or whoever it is just standing there like, I'm the last guy picked. Really? Like,
yeah.
I want that because, you know, none of these guys were ever the last guy picked in anything they've ever done. So I'm going to be entertained by that.
Well, they sure made a big deal of it with Rudy Gobert. That was
true.
Quite the deal when that happened. And now here
I think there was a little schadenfreude there with people who were not Gobert fans.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Kurt Heelan joins us right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Hey, all right, so let's talk about about 2 years ago, on the NBA League Pass, the Sacramento Kings were always kind of my guilty pleasure. They weren't particularly good win-loss record-wise, but they were crazy entertaining to watch. It was just usually always fun basketball. And now, look at them, they're the third team in the West. Are you buying stock right now in the Kings?
Define buying stock. I don't think they're the third best team in the West. I don't think they're a playoff threat. They are all offense, no defense, but they're a playoff team. It's been 16 years, or put it this way. The last time the Kings made the playoff, there was a Bush in the White House. It was that long ago. It's going to be fun to just see them back on that stage. The fans are really into it. This light the beam thing, which could have been gimmicky. They all buy into it. The city's rallied around it. It's been fun. They are one of the best stories in the league just because it's been so long and they are all savoring this and the players are eating it up. It's been fun. But get to the playoffs and your 24th ranked, your 24th ranked defense isn't going to last very long. I think that there's real targets on that team, starting with their two potential all-stars to go at. So, I don't think they're a threat beyond making the playoffs. But that whole Tyrese Halliburton trade for Domantas Sabonis was about making the playoffs. Sabonis fit a need better, could help them get there now while Halliburton's come along a little faster maybe than people expected. And he should be an all-star in his own right in the East. He was the future. And they wanted to make the playoffs now, and Sabonis could get them there now. And they're going to get that. They have got what they bought out of this, which is they should be a solid playoff team for the next few years.
Speaking of bad defenses, is the Dallas Mavericks, are they the next Portland Trailblazers? Having Damian Lillard and a great player, but nowhere to go with it? Because Dallas doesn't seem to be able to get out of their own way with Luka Doncic.
No, and the only reason I don't think that they're that way is that I don't think he would stick around in Dallas the same way that Damian has in Portland. We'll see. He brushes aside that kind of speculation, and rightfully so. He just signed a 5-year extension. The leverage is all with Dallas right now anyway. But in a couple of years, guys, you know how these 5-year contracts work. Once you get past the first – and I think the last year's a player option. Once you get past those first couple years and you're on the backside of that contract, the leverage shifts. They're on the clock. They are on the clock to put a winner around him, and they are both not terribly close to it and really locked in financially. They are not in a position where there's a bunch of free cap space coming up or they've got all these tradable assets and they're going to be able to go out and make these moves. So I'm not sure how they get where they need to go, but it's not pretty. And that said, if you talk to teams about the playoffs and about what are the first things that are messaging? Yeah, I don't want to see Luka. Nobody wants to see Luka in a 7-game series because he's that much of a problem. And if their other guys are hitting, they can still win, but they're not. Let me put it this way. Everybody thinks they can beat them in 7 games, but nobody wants to play them, right? Because they're that kind of team. On any given night, they're just going to be a problem.
By the way, do you enjoy the Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and his return to Philadelphia? Because it actually ended up being a great game.
Yeah, it ended up being a pretty entertaining game after all. I thought that Philly was kind of going to run away with it for a bit, but I think, by the way, I think Philly's good. I think Philadelphia's, they are starting to figure it out under Doc Rivers. And we'll see, you know, James Harden and Doc Rivers have a history of playoff meltdowns. So combined, like, does that square them or cancel each other out? I guess we'll find out. But they defend, they can score a variety of ways. They're bringing Tyrese Maxey off the bench right now. I think that's kind of a fun, dangerous team as they start to come together.
Kurt Heelan right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Kurt, appreciate your time as always. Good catching up with you. We'll let you go, but thanks for joining us.
Hey, take care, guys.
There you go. Kurt Heelan right here on the Zone as NBA All-Star Game just coming up in just a few weeks from right now.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.